This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And you know what? 2015 is here, and now it's time to get back to Walt Disney World. And if you're trying to make sure, you know, I would love to get back down there, well, then you should use MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. They are a great travel agency that can help you plan the perfect 2015 trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, Disney World with Mike Newell, whatever it happens to be, they can help you plan the trip. Look, for enough money, Mike Newell will go with you on Walt Disney World, I'm just saying. But MEI Mouse Travel is here to hook you up. They're your partner in booking this trip, and really it's all about making your life easier. And the best part is they are a fee-free agency. Woo. Disney pays them nothing. Oh, I'm sorry. You pay them nothing. Disney pays them everything. That's right. They make all their money from Disney, not from you. So check them out right now at mousefantravel.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, December 31st, 2014, and this is episode 1441 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Happy New Year, Mike!
Happy New Year!
So, since Dick Clark's no longer with us, I think we're switching over to the disaster, which is Anderson Cooper and Kathy Griffin.
You're not a the guy from American Idol fan?
Who?
What's his name?
No, I'm not.
You know, short guy?
Yeah, little guy? No.
Yeah, no.
No. I want to see a disaster, so I'm tuning in to CNN.
Also joining us on today's show is... Oh, by the way, Mike, if you are watching that TV, look for one Len Testa somewhere there in New York City.
What? Is he insane?
In the membrane.
Any true New Yorker will tell you, do not go to Times Square on New Year's Eve.
Totally overrated because this is a terrible experience. Anyway, joining us also on today's show, a man who remembers the first New Year's Eve ever, Mike Scopa of Mouse World Radio.
Hey!
So I'm making sure I get the joke right. I can't get any of your titles.
How you doing?
The joke's more important.
Yeah. Blogger for TouringPlans.com and co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast, which I'm like,
are you ready? Here's the one you've been waiting for.
Oh, I know this. PhilharMagic?
Nope.
Dumbo?
Nope.
Ready?
Say it again. Nope. Oh, are you ready? Here's the one you've been waiting for.
Toy Story Midway Mania?
Nope.
I swear I know this one. Sometimes I have no clue.
You're going to kill yourself.
It's something in the studios.
Something in the studios. All right. Star Tours?
No.
Nope.
Fantasmic.
Nope.
All right, let's think about this. Noel, where does he usually go in the studios for quotes?
The garbage?
The garbage.
Dick Tracy's Double Diamond Dare Cross.
Oh, my God. No.
That would have been a good one. He often went back to that one.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Sorcery in the Sky.
Oh, no.
Right, what is it from? One? It's like 800 guesses.
Are you done?
Yeah.
For the first time in forever, Frozen sing-along.
Oh, actually, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Just before they sing that song that everybody knows.
Well, on today's show, we're answering your future. Listener questions.
Your future.
And we'll start with an email from John T. in Katona, New York, blogging at ThompsonFamilyWeb.com. In episode 1420, someone asked about booking one night at All-Star. Not vacation homes, the resort, to get FastPass Plus 60 days out. I agree this plan works. In fact, it's a big topic conversation on another podcast. My question is, are you sure they'll let you be able to book for 10 people using a room for 4? Will this let them include everyone in that small room? I want to say yes, but I'm not sure. So here's the thing. No, because of course they won't let you book. They will let you book up to 5, I think, but you're going to pay extra for it.
Yep.
Because those rooms only allow you to have
4.
Is it 4 or 3?
I thought it was 4.
You might be right. Anyway, you're not going to be able to book 10. You'll be able to book 5, but you're going to pay for...
The extra body, the extra body, right.
The way that 10 could work, I'm not sure if they thought about this, was Fort Wilderness. Because you could say, hey, we got a huge camper. You can sleep 10 people in a camper. It's not unheard of. It won't be fun. But anyway, that could possibly work.
So that's even cheaper if you're booking a campsite instead
Absolutely.
Of... Yeah, so that's a cheaper option.
There you go. Cool. Thank you, John. Good email. Let's move on to the next one. It's from Jennifer from Atlanta, Georgia. ATL, as the kids say. If Hollywood Studios is going to Star Wars, why add a Toy Story Mania track? With the new pull of the Toy Story, with the new pull to the new stuff, Toy Story would be old news. Is it possible that adding a track isn't actually happening and they are building something else, Pixar?
Toy Story is old news already and it's still 2 hour wait.
That's the problem. It's just, it's insanely popular. Yeah. And,
yeah,
you know, if they, anything they can do, they're doing the same thing at Soarin', right? To expand that. So, hey, it's an easy thing for them because there's no thought involved. It's just a matter of, you know, there's no engineering in the sense of like we have to come up with a new idea. This is just, okay, we're just going to, you know, scale what we currently have. And that's kind of what I meant by all that. And anyway, so it's kind of in terms of the investment required, it's minimal. It's just a matter of, you know, construction and a little reworking of the current lines.
Yeah. But, yeah.
You know, small investment, big payoff. There you go.
Exactly.
Moving on. We have an email from Matthew Costanza from Anderson, South Carolina.
Costanza, can't stand you.
Thanks for all you guys do. I've been listening to you all, WWE Radio, the Be Our Guest podcast, Inside the Magic, and many more since the very beginning. Back when I got the original iPod. Back when Van had the Netcut podcast. So you
Van.
Can tell.
Who's Van?
I'm a huge Disney nerd. I just got accepted into the Disney College program for the Spring Advantage 2015. That's Jan 10 to August 7th. I'm looking forward to finally getting a chance to meet you guys when you're down there in the parks. On to my question. I'll be considered a Florida resident when I get my address and move in. Is it possible for me to purchase a Tables of Wonderland card, or do you have to be a DVC member annual pass holder to be eligible for the card?
We just talked about that. If you're a Florida, if you're a Florida resident without an annual pass, it's $125. If you're a Florida resident with an annual pass, I believe it's $100.
Yep. So for you, you can definitely get that. Although keep in mind, Matthew, that your Disney employee discount will actually get you essentially the same thing. Yes. The only exception is Epcot in the evening. They black you out because gosh forbid you eat there. Unless you eat there like past 8 o'clock, I believe. But otherwise, you pretty much get the same thing. In fact, you actually get a better benefit for a couple of lunch restaurants at some of the resorts. You actually get a really like fat 40% discount, which is really nice. When I lived down there, my wife was a cast member. Boy, we took full advantage of that discount. So I think you'll probably find for yourself at least you're not going to need it because your employee discount will pretty much do the same thing for free. So makes sense. Anyway, thanks for the email. Move on to the next message. It's from Craig Cudmore. Here's another mashup suggestion. Mix Living with the Land, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Grand Fiesta Tour. Hydroponics, pirates, and drug lords. You have to get your product from the hydroponic greenhouses across the Rio Grande while avoiding pirates. Bonus edition from Hall of Presidents with a giant Ronald Reagan head floating past saying, just say no to drugs.
Wow.
Like that mashup. Was that not a good Reagan impression?
No.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Will? Yeah. All right. Anyway, moving on to the next one. An email from Art Mills of Zeeland, Michigan.
Howdy.
You guys are great. Your insights on all things Disney World have helped me and my family immensely in our trip. Keep up the great work. I just finished listening to episode 1423, where you guys mash up different attractions. I have some ideas of my own. How about Maelstrom and Splash Mountain? Disappear back over the falls. It's a Small World and the Frontierland Shooting Arcade. No explanation needed. And the Affection section of Conservation Station and Dinosaur, an extreme petting zoo. I'll take that one. And lastly, for refreshment, we have the joy of the mad tea party. If you can drink your tea and keep it down while spinning, your tea is free. Nice. Very good. Next email is from Doug R. of Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. You got another mashup, two mashups for us.
Wow.
Progress Roller Coaster. So it's a Carol for Sale Progress and Rock and Roller Coaster, 1 century, 60 seconds.
And in the middle, they blow a fuse.
Yeah, until they blow a fuse. That's actually pretty funny. I like that one. Next, an email from Angela.
Hey, yo, Angela.
From Charlotte, North Carolina.
Angie.
She's never heard that before, I bet.
We're going over baby names, and my wife suggested Angela. And I said, oh, where's Newell when you need him?
Oh, the ideal. Hey, yo, Angela. How you
hey,
doing?
Angela.
Hey.
How you doing?
Long-time listener, first-time emailer. On episode 1415, Len wondered about how many rooms could be on one memory maker. Obviously, I don't know what the limit of the mouse is, but I want to let you know that my family experience. We had a group of 25 people in 6 rooms, and we all chipped in for Memory Maker. It was $25 per room, and we ended up with close to 500 photos, all linked to our My Disney Experience account. Wow. Wonderful value that I hope they don't catch on to anytime soon. That's great.
Cat's out of the bag now.
Here's the thing. Most people, I guarantee you, 99% of the people that use Memory Maker do not do that. They don't even come close. You'd be lucky if people link them with two families, you know, and that's only because some cast member told them to.
Right.
Yeah.
So, honestly, you know, this is the thing. If Disney were to do something like that, it's like, come on, really? This is really eating into your bottom line? This is why? Never mind, they're making money hand over fist and all this other stuff, but I hope that that's not really the case. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean, Vern?
All right. Next, we have an email from Greg Papa of Sagertes, North Carolina.
Greg?
Hello. Disney, Ford, Arthur, Zaphod, Marvin, and maybe Trillian. You decide who is who, but clearly Scopa is Marvin since he is 37 times older than the universe.
Ooh.
This is all a hitchhiker. To the-
Marvin. We haven't seen Marvin in a while.
Yeah, Marvin's being held captive in Phillipsburg,
New Jersey.
Jersey.
I noticed two distinct approaches to using FastPass Plus. I refer to them as the MAT, scheduling all three as early as possible so you can refer to making additional reservations quickly, and the LEN, using touringplans.com recommendations for booking times even if it's late in the day. Are these both viable options? Would low crowd levels make the MAT more beneficial? Would the total time savings from using as many fast passes as possible outweigh using three at optimal time? Thanks for all you do. We've enjoyed many successful trips thanks to your shows. So the reason why I like the MAT, that's a good way of putting it, is because it allows you to – I feel like we can plow through three pretty quickly in the morning. And to me, the advantage is – here's the thing. The assumption is I'm not going to be able to really use the – I'm not really willing to get even fast passes for, you know, Anna Elsa, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. But, you know, I really don't want to wait 20 minutes for Buzz Lightyear. It's just not worth it to me. But I know I can get fast pass pluses from pretty easily. And for other similar attractions like the Speedway – a lot of those mid-tier attractions, which are perfect for my daughter. And that basically allows us to be able to do a lot of attractions a whole lot faster. So I'd rather do three in the morning, even if it's just one like headliner and two like miss, but at least that gets me the opportunity to get in. You know, if I play my cards right, I can probably easily get in another 4 to 5 fast passes in the rest of the day. And that's not even counting the first three. That's another, what, 3 or 4 attractions. I'm not waiting in line with. And, like, you know, 20 minutes at Buzz Lightyear is not a big deal. I agree with you. But it just makes you feel better about it. It's like, all right, cool. It will pass. It's such an easier experience. So maybe that's the dad in me talking, but that's kind of my take on it. I don't know. What do you think? Would you rather have 3 fast passes earlier in the morning to and then be able to get additional ones later in the day, or 3 better targeted fast passes to help your overall touring plan?
I think I don't think you can lose by doing anything early at Walt Disney World. So I would go with the 3 early ones and then take a chance.
Now,
because I think most people are lazy, and then a lot of people aren't there early. So I think you have a better chance at getting the quality fast pass you want in earlier than later.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that he mentioned, what about low crowd levels? Would that be beneficial or less beneficial? I mean, obviously, if it's really low, like September or second week in January, you probably don't need them all that much, honestly. You'll find that a lot of it is just – you'll spend more time just getting the fast passes than actually walking on the set attractions. But I think that's a very unlikely scenario. I think most people don't go during those times of year. I think most people are going during busier times of the year. It doesn't have to be, you know, Christmas week by any means. But, it, you know, there's more of those, you know, people that are going, you know, October, May – April, months that are, you know, June, months that are busy but not the busiest on record by any means, I think that's when it really comes in handy. And, of course, the other question he had, would the total time savings from using as many fast passes as possible outweigh using 3 at optimal times? Yeah, that's a good question. I think it also goes to how many fast passes you get during the day, right? If you get 4 or even 5, it's probably not a huge – you might – you know, it might not be that much of an advantage. But if you can really go crazy and get 6, 7, 8, now you're really, you know, maximizing the value of it. And then I definitely believe that'll help you. But again, it depends on the person and kind of what you're looking to do.
Well, you know, another key is if those 3 fast passes that you get for the morning, if they're really early in the morning, then I think that's an advantage, because let's say you use them up by 10:30, then it's still early enough that you might be able to get some decent quality fast passes for later in the day.
Good point. Next, we have an email from Cass from Los Angeles. Hi, guys. Just want to start off by saying y'all, my favorite podcast. We're planning our favorite. We're planning our first trip to Walt Disney World in late May of 2015. There'll be four of us, me, my uncle, and his two kids. This will be a big surprise for them as we celebrate their adoption being finalized. We're looking at booking through Costco as they have a 6-night, 7-day package for a little over $2,000, including the room, resort fees, and a 5-day park hopper ticket for the parks. Seems like the most value I've seen for an A package, including off-site packages. Is this too good to be true? Seeing as it'll be over $1,500 if we bought just the tickets, that means we're getting the hotel room for about $500 for our entire stay. Am I missing something, or should we jump on this deal?
Did he say what type of resort?
No, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, that.
I mean, if it's,
guarantee yeah. you, it's a value.
Yeah, it's probably
6 nights.
All Star Sports.
Yeah, 6 nights, 7 days. You're staying at a value resort. Here's the thing about Disney World rooms in general; they're not discounted. I mean, maybe a company like Costco is getting a few dollars off the top. They're doing a group kind of thing, and it's going to save a little bit of money. But by and large, I mean, the real discounts that are out there are the annual pass discounts, those kind of last minute, things, basically things that everybody gets. And when you're paying essentially rack rate, which is, I'm assuming, what this deal is getting you or something close to that, there's no deal. It's not like you can go to Expedia and book it for any really different price than anyone else. It's just, again, room blocks aside, and room blocks are something that travel agencies can do, but Costco is a travel agency that can, kind of, they're going to book, 50 rooms, and Disney will give them a little bit of a discount on that because they got 50 rooms coming to them, right? But that usually is not the case because Costco can't book up, 50 rooms every night on the off chance someone's going to buy one of their packages. That'd be a loss for them. So, I mean, it's a deal, I guess. It's a nice little package, but I think most people would tell you, and I think Len's got this in the book, and if you go to mousesavers.com, oftentimes you may actually do better pricing it out yourself in terms of not taking sort of a package deal, but kind of figuring out where the better deal may lie for you. As an example, the park tickets, one of the things you should do, and I always recommend, is go check out on touringplans.com. They have the lowest ticket calculator. It's a free service. You don't have to be a subscriber to use it. You go in there, you type in, the dates you're going, how many nights, where you're planning on going, blah, blah, blah. And it will print out for you actually the best place to do it. Often it's somewhere else. I'll save you a couple dollars here and there. And if you got a family of four, hey, if you're saving, let's say $10 a person, that's $40 right there you just saved. And little ways you can do, maybe you look at the room and you're looking at a different resort. Again, all these little things all kind of come into play. I'm not a huge fan of the package is what I'm trying to say. It doesn't matter who's selling the package. I think pricing it out kind of individually is the best value standpoint. So you might want to look into it before you just commit to something that and make sure, Cass, the other thing is look at the cancellation policy on this, because hopefully this is not going to be something that's going to be like, okay, you booked this, but you're locked into it, you can't cancel it, because obviously things change and you don't want to be locked into something like that. So all things to look at. Obviously, we don't have the full details here, but that's just my take on it. I think, Mike, you're kind of on the same page as me.
Yes, I am. Yep. Yes, I am.
That's right, Matt. Who's that?
We can't say that anymore.
I know. Who's that? Who's that?
All right. Next email is from Justin. So my girlfriend and I are pretty avid Disney fans. I am by far the fanatic between the two of us. And we're going to be moving to the LA area soon. We're possibly interested in buying D23 memberships and annual passes for the parks and possibly going to the expo in the upcoming year. First of all, are the D23 memberships worth it in the grand scheme of things? Oh man, you asked the wrong people.
None of us are members, so.
I think it's terrible. I think it's basically like, let's use Costco. It's like Costco for Disney. You pay them a certain amount of money for the advantage to buy more things that other people can't buy because they're not a club membership. Yeah. They do some nice little things. You get the little magazine. You get
those shows. I mean, what do they call that
thing? You get once in a while, you get a free thing. But most of the stuff they're offering you, they're basically you're buying into the opportunity to buy other stuff. And a lot of this stuff can be expensive. Some of it's not. I don't think it's worth it. I think it's largely a lot of fluff, a lot of nothing, and I don't think most people – if you live near a big – you're moving to LA, that can help you. There are a lot of things basically in the LA area right around Disneyland, and there's a lot of things around Walt Disney World. More – actually, I think it's actually more weighted towards Disneyland and sort of the California region, because that's where Disney's headquarters are. That's where all their animation happens. It can be a slight advantage in that respect. But unless you're the kind of person who just buys a lot of Disneyana and love going to events and, money is not kind of a thing for you, then you have to be rich. But, I that may be the type of person that's interested. But I don't think it really – it's not one of those things that's a no-brainer for everybody. I just don't think there's a lot of return on it.
It wasn't for me. That's why I didn't join. So
yeah, I just never saw it as much of a incentive, really.
I actually was given that as a present one Christmas membership, and I never really used it. I think that you're right, Matt. I think that what it does, it gives Disney, I hate to say this, but it gives them a another mailing list and another channel to make more money, because they'll send it out to all these members and say, hey, come on and see this. I don't remember. They did something on the Haunted Mansion. Come on in. It's only going to cost you another $50. And
mm-hmm.
if you're a collector, if you're really a hard-nosed Disney collector, maybe it might be worth it. But
yeah, if you love, I mean, there are a lot of events the events are the really cool thing. I mean, otherwise, unless of course you've got a lot of money, like Mike is saying, and you love collecting, and this is a good opportunity to get some stuff otherwise. But for the events, that's really kind of the bread and butter of it, besides like the magazine, which is neat, but I don't think it's, you know, whatever the price is for the membership, that it's worth it just for the magazine. But for the events in LA, yeah, maybe. Kind of depends on what, you know, if it kind of fits in your – I would do some Google searches and kind of see what's around there in terms of past events, see if it's worth it to you, and then kind of, you know, decide if it's something you'd be interested in. The other question that Justin here has is also, is there a certain combination or order I should purchase these things in order to take advantage of some of the discounts on any of them before aforementioned items I'm looking to purchase? So he's looking to purchase D23 and annual passes. Are there any discounts for either? I don't think there's any D23.
I don't think so.
No D23 discount for annual passes. And I don't think there's any D23 discount for annual pass holders. So I'm thinking it doesn't really matter.
I think the only discount for annual passes would be through DVC, maybe.
Yeah, and Florida residents, right? Yeah. And of course, they're California residents, so if you're looking for Disneyland, yeah, I'm assuming there's a California discount. I don't know.
Could be.
Next, we have an email from Vince in Linden, Washington.
Hey, is that your boss?
Yeah, he said he loves emailing us.
Really?
Fire.
I'm impressed.
I just want to drop you guys a line on my recent question about using Uber in the world. I've included some real-world data for you to chew on, and hopefully some other listeners will know in advance if using Uber is a viable alternative from a cost standpoint. We just visited the world in mid-October, and we're staying at Saratoga Springs in the Carousel. In general, I would say that using Uber was most helpful when wanting to go from our villa to another resort property, particularly for dining, as we were able to leave our room no more than about 30 minutes before our reservation time and always arrive with time to spare. Additionally, we were able to make rope drop one day at the Magic Kingdom with ease. I compiled a list below of the trips we took using my emailed receipts from Uber. The times listed are the pickup to drop off. We never waited more than 5 minutes for a car to pick us up after calling for one of them using the Uber app on my iPhone, right in front of our Villa Dora, might I add. So here's what he used. Saratoga to Hollywood Studios for park opening, 14 minutes, $10.92. This includes gratuity, by the way. Saratoga to Epcot for park opening, 13 minutes, $10.86. Saratoga to Magic Kingdom, dropped off near Contemporary for rope drop, 17 minutes, $16.97. Saratoga to Grand Floridian for dinner at Narcoossee's, 13 minutes, $14.38. Saratoga to Beach Club Villas, 14 minutes, $11.72. And Saratoga to Polynesian, 12 minutes, $12.95. We never used Uber to go back to our resort from the theme park, as we were staying near a second bus stop for return trips, and we're unsure of the logistics of arranging a pickup from a park, so I cannot comment on how that would work. Overall, I give Uber a big thumbs up and will likely use it for our future trip. I think it's a great idea. I mean, the great thing about it is I think it is a cost savings compared to a taxi, because I don't think you'll get it that cheap, especially with, you know, the tip on the end of it.
But not to a rental car, though.
No, but it is like, it's like the happy medium, I think, between, because here's the thing, when most people say the really, 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 really need a rental car is to get, like he's saying, to get from your resort to another resort for dining, because Disney does not provide direct transportation. You have to go from your resort to a park back to the resort that you're going to eat at. That's a lot of time. That's honestly, you're probably looking door to door 45 to 60 minutes, you know? When you go from Saratoga to Magic Kingdom, you know, they went to Grand Floridian one time. For, you know, dinner, no way they could do that in less than 60 minutes.
But
Disney transportation.
If you add up all those trips that they took, that's over $100 right there.
Yeah, so 10, 20, 36, 50, 66. So they're about, with the numbers he gave me right here, they're close to about $70, $75.
Okay, so.
Could they have gotten, I don't know how many days that was. Yeah, they probably could have gotten a really, really, really cheap rental car, probably for that price. You're probably right, Mike.
That's and then you come and go as you want.
But if they do that, then they're responsible for the car. They can get something, you know, accident. Sure. They have to, you know, there's a lot of liability. Plus, it doesn't bother me, but some people really don't want to drive on their vacation. Then of course, if they go to these also restaurants and they want to have a few, you know, we'll pull a lead tester. What's happening right now? You know, you can't do that because you got to drive. So
true.
Yeah, there's advantages and disadvantages, but I think it's a better option than a taxi. Yeah.
And do you have to wait for an Uber car?
He said, yeah, but it took about 5 minutes. He said,
okay, all right,
not bad.
No,
I can tell you the taxis take longer, especially if it's not one there. So. Alrighty, very good stuff, Vince. Thank you for the details. Deets, as the kids say.
Wow.
Alright, time for our last question of the day, and that means I give Mr. Newell 3 emails to choose from. By the way, this is not only the last question of the day, last question of the year!
What?
Wow.
Wow, it's making it a special one.
Wow.
Alright, Mike, you got 3 emails to choose from. You ready?
Sure thing.
Epcot out of hand.
Uh-oh.
You can't get there from here.
Yes, you can.
Unless you have Uber.
I just don't get it.
Oh, those are good ones. Mike, what would you like to hear?
Oh, my God, Mike. You know, Mike, you are a gentleman and a scholar.
I'm looking for advice.
I think that the last one seems to be quite intriguing.
I agree.
I just don't get it.
I have a feeling that the Epcot out of hand is about food and wine. So
don't ask the
the
host. Just pick it.
Yeah. All right, let's go with the last one for now.
All right, last email today of the year.
The year
is from TJ from Wheaton, Illinois.
TJ Max. Shut up, will ya?
TJ writes, I just got back from our trip to Disney World, and it got me wondering. While in line using one of our FastPass Plus rides, they gave us the red lanyard for monitoring wait times. This isn't the first time this happened to us, but it got me wondering, why do they do this? What are they looking to gain with monitoring the FastPass lines? Does this go into some huge database of info on managing the number of FastPass riders they'll allow? Is it just a lazy cast member handing out cards to whomever they feel like? Just wondering.
Well, number one, I think they want to be as accurate as possible when they post the waiting times outside the attractions.
Well, this is for the FastPass line.
Oh, the FastPass. I didn't realize that. They gave lanyards for FastPass now?
Yeah, I think this is to ensure that basically – I think they have to do this. It's not the cast are being lazy. I think this is to ensure that people going through the FastPass lines are going through them as quickly as Disney says they will, because they obviously advertise that the FastPass line needs to move very, very fast. That's the kind of idea. And I forget what the exact quote is. There's no like hard number, but it's significantly faster. And so obviously if the posted wait time is 40 minutes, let's say – I'm throwing numbers out there – and people are in the FastPass line having 20 minutes, they got to change that ratio of FastPass guests to standby guests. By the same token, if they fly in like 5 seconds, be like, okay, we can obviously, you know, pull the throttle back a little bit, put it back in second gear and, you know, let a few more standby guests in. So it's kind of a means, I think, for them to do that. And of course, there's obviously data mining that's going on. There's data mining about everything that goes on at Disney.
Gee, do you think we'll see post waiting times posted for FastPass lines?
Wow. You know, yeah, I hope not, but.
Wow.
Who knew?
Holy cow. Imagine seeing that. Well, do you want to go in the FastPass line? Oh, that's 40 minutes. Let's go in standby. It's only 35.
Well, they have lines, wait times for single riders, right?
I think so. Yeah.
So.
Wow.
You never know. Well, that'll do it for us today. Don't forget this episode of WTF Today has been sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And as you're all hugging your family, counting down until that ball drops later tonight, or happy – I was going to say happy St. Patrick's Day if you're listening to this in March. The thing is, when you're there with your family, maybe plan a trip to Walt Disney World. The chipmunks or a gopher?
What is that?
I don't know.
Anyway, Emmy and Mouse Truffles here to help you plan that trip to Walt Disney World. Make it a reality because, of course, 2015 is a great year to hit up the old Disney parks. Check them out right now, mousefantravel.com. And, of course, as we wrap up the end of the year, the music is playing. It reminds me, I want to thank everybody for a great year of WWT. Thank you to all our listeners, all of our great sponsors, everybody who called in, emailed, complained, posted iTunes reviews, Mike Newell. Everybody is, it always makes it so much better when we have all of you involved. So thank you all so much for making it a very fun year. Big changes next year, but it's going to be all for the best.
No show Friday.
That's right. For Lent Testa, Mike Silpa, and Mike Newell, see you on the next show. Worst sound effect ever.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.